Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up on the show, the Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports will join us. We will go over a little bit of everything. We'll do some Major League Baseball, awards, futures, some college football, some NFL. I know Bear has thoughts on the World Cup, so do a little bit of everything with Bear. I'm excited for that. And we will also discuss the Thunder and the Spurs, and it's finally here. Monday, we get game one. Thunder, 6.5-point favorites for game one of the series. A -260 favorite to win the series and go back to the finals for the second straight year, looking for their second straight title. The total right now sitting at 218.5. And, you know, so often in sports, you have all of these series that you expect to happen or look forward to and say, man, I can't wait for these teams to meet in the playoffs. I can't wait for these teams to meet in the Super Bowl. And a lot of times it just doesn't come to fruition. Upsets happen, injuries happen, but we're getting it. Hopefully these teams stay healthy. I ultimately like the Thunder in 6 + 450. I know that's I think that's a good value. You guys know that I like to look at these series and just try to turn a minus price into a plus price. If you think the Thunder are going to win, you probably don't want to lay 260. And if anything, you know, taking 2-1 on the Spurs, I get it with the domination that they had over them in the regular season. I get why you would take the 2-1, but I just think this is one where, like, I could see it being, you know, tied 2-2. OKC wins game 5 at home and they close it out in 6. You're asking them to win it on the road, but you know what? You're getting extra bang for your buck when you look at correct series score. The short shot is the Thunder in 7, actually, which makes sense. You know what? These teams are really good. Everyone just hold serve in at home, and you're sitting there in a game 7. Thunder in 7 plus 310. Thunder in 5 plus 330. It feels disrespectful to the Spurs to pick this in 5. I know it's possible where, especially when you're the home team, you win your first 2 at home, you get the split in 3 and 4, and then you wrap it up in game 5. That's always possible. So that's, you know, a 7 is the short shot, which is interesting because they're basically telling you, hey, the most likely thing is the Thunder win a very long series, the longest possible. But the next likeliest thing is the Thunder win a pretty short series and win in 5, and then Thunder in 6 at plus 450. I think that's the best bang for your buck. That's how I would pick it. That's how I would play it. If you think the Spurs are going to win, look, they not likely would win it in 6, but that's where, you know what, you're up 3-2 going home and you close out in 6. That's plus 550. I understand the value there. Thunder is sweet, plus 550. I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked, especially, you know what, Wemby gets banged up or something, but too much respect for the Spurs. I wouldn't take the plus 550. Spurs in 7, 8-1, then Spurs in 5, 14-1. I can't see any scenario where the Spurs sweep, but that is 22-1. If you're feeling frisky again. I don't know what, even SGA got hurt. I don't know if the Spurs would sweep 22-1. I would need a little bit more there, but I'm excited. I think the NBA can use it. The playoffs have been a little disappointing. I mean, I've been saying all year, you know, the playoffs are going to be good. The regular season stinks, but the playoffs are going to be good. And I've been saying specifically, especially when you get to the second round, you know, the Nuggets got upset. The Celtics got upset. Luka got hurt for the Lakers. So I think that hurt some of the series. You know, in the second round, we got a sweep. Spurs, Minnesota was okay. I mean, what, 6? But that wasn't a great series. And then, obviously, Cavs, Pistons going to 7. But hasn't been a great playoff so far. Hopefully, you get a little juicier. And I do think no matter who comes out of the series, if you got the Knicks in the finals, and I do expect the Knicks to be in the finals. Wouldn't be shocked if they lost, but I do expect them to be in the finals. A Spurs-Knicks finals, I think the Knicks would give it juice no matter what. If you get Spurs-Knicks, you get Wembanyama in the finals. You get the Knicks. That's a great story. The Knicks would also feel live if they won another series. Now, the Spurs will just come off beating OKC. So people will probably think the Spurs, if you can beat OKC, you could probably beat the Knicks. But that would at least, if you're the Knicks, talk yourself into, hey, it's a young team. Wembanyama could get hurt. People would talk themselves into giving the Knicks a chance. Even if it's Knicks-Thunder, you got Thunder going for back-to-back. You know, the Knicks just being in it for the first time since 1999. There's going to be excitement. The finals back at MSG. So either way, I think you'll have a good final. But there's just, going back to the Thunder Spurs, there's just so many storylines. I mean, OKC going for their second straight title and looking like the beginning of a dynasty, and dynasty is a word that gets thrown around. When you win 2 in a row and they're going for their second in a row and they're a big favorite, and you're set up the way they are, a dynasty, potential dynasty here is not crazy. It's very much on the table. And on the other side of it, you got Wembanyama, who, you know, if things break right, could Wembanyama be a top 5 player in the history of the NBA if he stays healthy? If his career goes like the best version, is it possible Wembanyama is one of the 5 or 10 best players of all time? I don't think that's crazy. So on one hand, you got a potential, you know, top 5 player of all time at the very beginning of his arc. On the other, you got a potential dynasty, and know, these teams are just going to battle for championships, and you never know how things are going to play out. Injuries happen, free agency, the hard cap, the apron, all of those things that make it hard to sustain dynasties that we would have thought a few years ago. When the Nuggets won, they were set up for a lot of success. We would have thought the Celtics, when they won 2 years ago with Tatum and Brown, they're young. They're going to be back. Neither team has been back. You know, neither team has even been back to a conference finals. It's hard to win in the NBA. It's hard to keep winning. But these two teams, and I've thrown this question out before, out of the next five championships, how many are won by the Thunder or the Spurs? I mean, a popular answer, and it's probably the right one, the one I would go with, four, just because, all right, somebody along the way probably wins another championship, an injury, something. You know, somebody from the East, something happens. Luka gets a good team around the league. I don't know who it would be. It's hard to predict. But still, the Thunder and the Spurs look like they are both set up here to be battling for championships for years to come. And this could be a scenario where the Thunder and the Spurs, you know, doing this podcast a year from now, 2 years from now, hopefully 3 years from now, that this just becomes a spring tradition where these teams play in the Western Conference, you know, six of the next 8 years or five of the next 6 years, something like that, where there's just, this is just an annual thing where these teams are meeting this deep into the playoffs. And I was trying to think, I threw this out on Twitter. This is the most highly anticipated series, and I won't count the finals because the finals are always anticipated and it's a different thing, but you could probably include this and get, you know, have the same idea. When is the last time there was an NBA playoff series with this much anticipation? You know, some people threw out Warriors Rockets in 2018. Again, it's hard to judge buzz and anticipation, things like that. I don't remember Warriors Rockets being this exciting. Some people threw out Warriors Thunder in 2016, which was a good series, and that was one where, you know, OKC and the Thunder were up 3-1 with Durant. They lost the series. Durant goes to the Warriors, which, looking back, oh man, that's a decade later. I know people were annoyed with it at the time. That is a really weak move. Now that you look back on it 10 years later, say, man, you were up 3-1 about to beat this team and you lose them and you go join them and then win all these championships, a 73-win team on top of that. But this is one of the most anticipated finals I can, series I can ever remember. People throw out Kings Lakers back in early 2000s. I just don't remember. I mean, again, media was different then. You basically, you know, you had whatever was on SportsCenter, you had to pick up a newspaper, not to make it sound like 50 years ago. But, I mean, it's still a long time ago, so it's hard to judge the buzz where there's more media now, and you know for a while this is going to be the series, and there's countdowns to it and just anticipation of it, and you know the winner's probably going to win the championship, and you throw in the fact and why it took so long for them to announce SGA MVP on a Sunday morning this late in the season, I'm not sure, but I'm sure there was some strategic reasoning behind the timing of, you know what, let's get it out there that SGA is the MVP. It'll add another storyline. It'll, you know, Wemby can play the angle of, hey, this guy won MVP, but our team's going to win the series. And they can create that part of a narrative, which is a fun part of it too. But again, to me, the bottom line, this is the most anticipated series, really, I didn't say ever, but the one, at least the one I can remember, of the ones I can remember. People threw out too, 2012 Spurs Thunder, which was a good one. And that was one. Spurs won the first two, and Thunder won the next four and then lost to the Heat in the finals. Those were all good ones. Those are all ones you're looking forward to. But I just think, you know, people threw out Lakers Blazers in 2000. Okay. But I just can't remember a series where there's just this many storylines, and it just felt like, not only is the matchup so exciting, but it feels like it's just the start of two possibly historic runs. Or, you know, OKC, it's not the start because they've already won a championship, but so young in the development, so young in what could be a rivalry here for years to come. I mentioned to SGA winning the MVP. Can we get the Coach of the Year award announced? What are we doing? I mean, we're halfway through May here. The season ended, what, a month, 6 weeks ago? Can we announce the awards? I just don't get why it's so complicated. Get the voting in by, what, the season ends on a Sunday, Monday at 5 o'clock Eastern, and then just announce it, I don't know, a day or two later. I just don't get why these get dragged out. I get you're building the drama, but besides the people that bet on it, we don't really care about the drama, and the people that bet on it don't care about the drama. We just want the money in our account, or we want to, you know, have it be done with. It's just you're building anticipation, or you're dragging it out for reasons that I'm just not sure of. I know they used to have that NBA award show back, what they do with that for a couple of years. That really didn't work. That they got rid of. They tried to make a night of it like the NFL does, but I just don't understand. Like Missoula, and there's been the theory, and I think there's probably some logic to it. The Celtics had such an embarrassing exit that if you announce him Coach of the Year a couple days later, it looks bad and you're just saving face for him. And it's just, let's let some time pass and let's not announce it right away just because It'll look bad for Missoula. It'll make him, whatever the case may be, just you want to give it a little time based on how the season ended. You don't want to just announce it right away. But hey, come on, can we announce these awards? I'm starting to wonder, are we going to just announce it next summer? Next year we can announce the coach of the year for next year, and this year we can do two at once. I mean, it's just crazy how long this is dragged out with these awards. But SGA wins the MVP as we expected. Again, just not sure why it takes this long. But like I mentioned, Spurs won 4 out of 5. Which I don't watch a ton of regular season basketball, like every play of every game, but I remember because I had that bet on Thunder 25-1 to break the wins record, and that was really kind of flirting with being live. They were 24-1, 25-1. It really got off track in the middle of December against the Spurs. December 13th, they lose the NBA Cup game 111-109. The NBA Cup semifinals, the NBA Cup, which nobody cares about. But that was a good game, and that looked legitimate. It was like, oh, this Spurs team is for real. Wemby looks like the best player on the court. And that's what kind of why I like the Spurs and OKC in six. Wemby might be the best player on the court. He's not, when he doesn't play though, when he can't play all 48 minutes, you worry about the Spurs' ability, to outscore the Thunder when Wemby's on the bench. But 111-109 on December 13th, 130-110 in OKC on December 23rd. This is what's concerning from OKC. 2 days later on Christmas, you figure, all right, double revenge. We just got killed by this team. We lost to them twice. Let's come out and prove a point. And they lost by 15 again, and then they split the next two games. But it's the NBA. It's the regular season. You can't always take too much from that. The Spurs are a younger team. Figure it means more to them. The Thunder had won a championship already. Maybe they were just going through a midseason low. It is a little concerning the Spurs beat them 3 in a row. And you figure after the first or the second, OKC would have come with a little more fervor and answered the bell quicker and responded. But I'm going to dismiss that, and I'm going to say OKC wins the series in six. And I just don't know the non-Wemby minutes, how this looks here for the Thunder. But coming up, the Bear, Chris Felica, will see what he thinks about this series, Major League Baseball, NFL, College Football, World Cup. We'll discuss it all. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Fox Sports Bear Bets podcast. He joins us now. It is Chris Felica. Bear, I appreciate you coming on. Summer got here in a hurry where we are in the Northeast. It got warm. Hopefully the colder days are behind us. What's going on? How are you?
Yeah, it did get really, we felt like we skipped spring this year again, which kind of sucks, but yeah, I did a lot of stuff around the house yesterday, cleaning off the deck and getting some planning done, and before donating money in the Preakness. But yeah, we're hanging in there.
Was it not a good Preakness for you?
I had the matchup. I hate when your strongest take is that Iron Honor is going to run well, and he runs well, and you still don't have the winner. In the race, I did win the two head-to-head matchups that he was involved in, which worked out well. But yeah, it was a loss on the day because I did not have anything involving Napoleon Solo on top. So yeah, poor first two legs of the Triple Crown. We'll see what happens in a couple of weeks up at Saratoga.
And I believe you'll probably be at the Belmont, and we are going to clean up at the Belmont. That I can reassure you. We're going to win
easily.
All the bets. So,
oh, yes. there's no way we're going to have a losing day for all three Triple Crown races.
Correct.
Look out, Naira Bets. We're coming for your money.
Correct. Will you be at Belmont?
Yeah. No, I'll be nice. On the set covering it for Belmont. Yeah.
All right. Look forward to that. That's in what, 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
That is three. That is 3 weeks. Saturday, June 6th.
All right, it'll be here before you know it. Let's do some baseball here. I got football to get to, soccer. You cover all the bases, so we'll get to it. Baseball, I guess the story would be the Phillies playing well. Mattingly, a guy that I like, and I didn't have too many favorite players growing up, but Mattingly was a guy I just always liked. Always, man, he's whether it was with the Yankees as a coach, last year with the Blue Jays, he's just had a star-crossed career as a player, manager, not being able to win a World Series. Not saying it's going to happen this year, but Phillies around 5-1 to win the division. They're playing better now. Is it, I don't say it's too little too late because there's still a ton of time to go, but should the people that bet the Braves to win the division and bet it again and again, like our buddy Steve Fezzik, should they start to be nervous?
I don't think you need to be nervous. It's still low at an 8-game lead with 120 games to go. So yeah, there's a ton of time. But what I would say is maybe you mentioned Donnie Baseball. Maybe you take a little shot at Don Mattingly for National League Rookie of the Year. This team was done in the tank, and since he's come in there, they have responded to him. They've done much better. Maybe instead of playing Phillies to win the division, maybe you take Don Mattingly to win National League Rookie of the Year if they happen to rally.
Manager of the Year, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, did I say some player
rookie of the year?
Yeah. He could win. He might still be able to win NL Rookie of the Year. But NL Manager of the Year, Donnie Baseball, that could be a different way to attack that.
And that would probably get him in the Hall of Fame. If you were able to, at his age, and he's got to be 60 now, if he were able to win Rookie of the Year at 60, you would have to, that would have to get Mattingly.
Exactly. He goes out there, and we know what's funny is I think I was staring at my computer screen, which had right underneath Don Mattingly, Manager of the Year, I had Griffin, Rookie of the Year for the Pirates. Like that was a bet that I liked. I think Weatherholt has moved to the favoritism in the market right now. But if you look at what Griffin has done over the last 20 games or so since he's got his feet wet in the bigs, it's been great. It could come down simply to which guy wins a division, whether it's the Cardinals, whether it's the Pirates, whether it's the Reds. It could all three of those teams have rookie players, whether Weatherholt, Stewart, or Griffin, that are great. So it might come down to something like that. But Griffin certainly has lived up to every bit of hype that was thrust upon him now as the newly 20-year-old.
And as I'm looking at this, the books seem to be onto your line of thinking here, because Kelly, who I have bet the Pirates manager of the year, has been surpassed here as the third favorite. Mattingly has moved up to, looking at FanDuel, 6-1, Council mm-hmm. ahead of him. Walt Weiss ahead of him. Braves and Cubs managers. I agree there's a bet there. Like, the Braves had a bad year last year. Okay, they were a World Series contender for like a decade before that. Had a bad year. They're then bouncing back. I don't know that Walt Weiss is going to get the credit for this season. And then the Cubs were the favorite to win the division. So the good story always wins. Now, Mattingly, his team had a lot of expectations too, but I guess you could have the narrative, you know, that he saved them. I still like the Kelly bet. I think if they got into the playoffs, he would have a very strong case, if nothing else. Awards-wise, MVP, Cy Young, you talked about Rookie of the Year a little bit. Anything else you're eyeing? I feel like we do this every year where it's try to find some way not to bet Judge or Ohtani, and we're sitting there in September and they're, you know, minus 1,000 each. Anything you've added, anything you're thinking about?
As we're recording this, I'm watching the final round of the PGA, and Alex Smalley just nearly drained a long one. He's kind of hanging on here. I know. Nothing like a tape delay rehash of the PGA, which is long, long over since we recorded this. But I did play Matt Olson, NL MVP, just because Ohtani is someone who, look, he's been great on the mound, but he has not hit well at all. And maybe there is a little bit of boredom. People are tired of giving it to him. Maybe voter fatigue. We've hit on that before, that if he's not going to go out there and hit 300 or close to it with 50 homers and whatever, maybe he won't be MVP. Maybe he's more in line to be a Cy Young type candidate than anything else. But I did add a little Matt Olson just because I couldn't find anybody further down the board. AL MVP, I have not done anything other than the Ben Rice ticket, which you turned me on to a while ago. I know we missed some time, but he should be much shorter and he should be a lot closer in the odds board to Aaron Judge than he is. I think the odds makers are really missing out on this. It's just a name recognition type thing.
22-1 right now at FanDuel. Man, I hate to say something at 150-1 is a good bet, and then a month later it's 22-1. I'm like, oh, still bet the 22-1. But man, better late than never. I mean, I ultimately, if you just gave me truth serum, say, hey, we fast forward to November, you know, basically when we open our Christmas presents, when these awards finally get announced in December, whatever it is, it's more towards Thanksgiving. Rice probably finishes, I don't know, third or fourth, but I mean, I think he's, I don't say likely, but boy, a coin flip to be like a top five MVP guy. And if you get a top five MVP guy, obviously 150-1, you take it, but at 22-1, I still think it's a good bet. Judge right now, minus 130. Alvarez 4-1, Witt 5-1. Then you got guys like Kurtz 25-1, Caminero at 30-1, who was nice enough to homer on Sunday and hurt some of my first three under bets. Was not nice enough to win World Baseball Classic MVP, which we had at 80-1, but better late than never, I guess.
That's what what you said about Jordan Alvarez and Bobby Witt. Like, how were the Royals are 19-27, the Astros are 19-28. They're two of the worst teams in the American League. Like, how are you going to make a case for either one of those two guys to win AL MVP over Ben Rice, or even Junior Caminero, who right now the Rays are in first place in that division?
Last couple minutes here. AL Cy Young, Schlittler, the short shot, plus 175. I don't want to jinx him, but man, Matt Youmans to get that 300 to 1. Can you imagine going back in time and say, hey, the Westgate has Schlittler 300 to 1. I mean, you and I would literally be on a flight there asking how much we could bet. What a hell of a bet that is. I can't recommend it at plus 175, but he's been outstanding. Skeens is plus 240 on the National League side. I'd imagine you're not looking for the short shot. I don't know. Is there value anywhere in that market here in the last couple
years? Like I said, I think you could look at Ohtani in the NL, but the NL race is going to be so, so deep. You look at Sanchez, you look at Skeens, you look at Ohtani, like the depth there of the list of contenders, I'm sure I'm missing guys as well in the National League, but Skeens, I look at Skeens' first start of the year and then the price and then his numbers since, he's been unbelievable. So he is a rightful favorite. You could, like I said, you maybe this could be a year where you bet Ohtani and maybe Ohtani wins Cy and doesn't win an MVP. But yeah, it's hard to make a case for someone other than those guys at the top of the leaderboard right now in the NL. The AL, we have that. I have Schlittler 30 to 1, which looks like nothing compared to what our guy Matty Youmans has. I tried to make a case for Emerson Hancock a couple of weeks ago, and he hasn't really done well since then as a price play. Yeah, I'm not going to – it'll be interesting to see now with Frieda out for a little bit here. We'll see what happens at the odds board if we kind of project something. But I feel good right now with Schlittler. I doomed to put that one in the pile of good bets gone bad, I'm sure.
No, that list is never going to grow. That pile is never going to grow. We're gonna be fine. We're going to get these home. Do we have an update on Fried? Last I saw, there was no update. He said he felt okay. But based on the odds, I mean, I don't even see him anymore. What is the latest on Fried?
Yeah, I think you say it kind of just, it didn't feel like anything serious to him. Like, I can't remember the exact quote that he had.
Famous last words, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. It felt like more of like a, I don't know, like a funny bone type thing or just, I think that's what, but he said he was hoping to make his start, but I don't think that's good. You could play it safe at this point in the year with him, but let me throw this at you. Is there a case to be made maybe for betting Tarik Skubal? If indeed the reports are true about him coming back earlier than expected, if you got those great numbers on Schlittler or Cease or whomever else in the AL, do you take a chance? And if Skubal's back in a month, who knows?
I don't see him listed at FanDuel, and DraftKings takes these down as the games are going on. Mm-hmm. Do you have a number on Skubal?
I don't. I don't. I am just throwing that out there, and I wonder maybe if the books are kind of thinking the same thing, where they don't want to hang 100 to 1 on him, and then, oh, look at this, what's this? Flag Day. Tarik Skubal's back pitching for the Tigers, and everyone loads up.
Yeah, I could certainly see that being the case. And again, DraftKings, they're down during the game. FanDuel, they don't have it. I would imagine, look, with his uncertainty, the conversation to me would have to start like 50 to 1, something like that.
Sure.
50 to 1, 100 to 1. If you thought for whatever reason that he was going to be coming back relatively soon, obviously you think about that. When we come back, we will do a little college football, a little NFL. We still have some soccer to get to. OKC and the Spurs, plenty to do with the Bear, Chris Felica. All right, we are back. Should have bet more podcast. The Bear, Chris Felica, sticking around. All right, Bear, let's do a little football. The NFL schedule is out, as we know. Really good Thanksgiving slate. We get a rematch of the Super Bowl game one. I will start this before we get any sort of, you know, betting thought here. Has the NFL gone too far here, taking away from their Sundays? You basically had a game every day of the week, every week of the year, it seems like, they loaded up these holiday schedules. Is this too much, or do you like all the standalone games?
I like them. I'm probably in the minority there, but you know how it is during the fall and the winter when you're looking for something to turn on, whether it's on a Monday night or a Saturday night or a Thursday night or a Friday. Like, I like having these games. And now I don't necessarily like them up against some good college football games, but the midweek college football games, we're basically talking about arm action, and Thursday, Wednesday, and midweek games really aren't great. But I like having the standalone games. I think it's a better. I think better is kind of like it too. That way you get to maybe focus on something, and you get to in-game something, and you get a feel, or you're looking at some player props or some live bets. I think it's better. I think it's really good. I know the traditionalists love having the Sunday ticket and love watching all those games on a Sunday. But no, I kind of like it.
Anything you have bet so far, NFL? I'll give you the floor. I know you're looking at worst record. Any win totals, any sort of futures you got in pocket?
The only thing I bet right away was a Jadarian Price Offensive Rookie of the Year ticket that FanDuel had a stray 14-1 on. And that obviously is long gone. I have not bet any win totals yet. I did bet the Raiders' worst record in the league. I don't remember the number that I got on that.
I think you got 9-1. I think I saw the tweeter from the pod.
Yeah, maybe it was that. Yeah, it could have been that. It's been so long ago. Yeah, I don't think they're a great team. I think probably you're looking at Cousins starting, which might hurt that bet a little bit, because maybe with him, he's got enough left in the tank where they can win a couple of games. But their road schedule is brutal. You're in a very difficult division. So that was my rationale behind taking a chance there on a ticket. I was looking, I mean, I guess now after the schedule release, I mean, you got to look at some of these plays, and the Cardinals under probably is a good thing, especially with the way they start the year. Just a brutal start to the year. I mean, how much fight are they going to have left? And I'm sure if they don't already plan on turning it over to Carson Beck later in the year, I think at some point they may do that. And then you'll have a rookie quarterback as well as Love and a new head coach and whatever else. So I think the Cardinals have the potential to be really, really bad this year. I know a lot of people are high on the Lions with that last day schedule, so I think that could be something that you look at. I'm going to look at fading the Giants, I think. I think there's a lot of love for the Giants. And look, while I am a big Jackson Dart fan and I like what the Giants did in the draft, there might be a little bit too high of an expectation level that John Harbaugh is going to come in here right away and turn this around with that bunch. So I might look for the best number I can find on the Giants and go under the win total there.
Does Vrabel coach the team this year?
Yes, I think he does. That's one of those. And I actually am invested on Kalshi in this, that I bought the yes that he will be the coach for the upcoming season in game one. And what I was worried about initially, and it seems like things have kind of died down a little bit, is what is the phraseology with that? Will he have head coaching duties for game? Does that mean that he's still the head coach, but he's suspended, or he's if he's not on the sideline, do you lose? So I probably should have read up on the rules a little bit more than I did, but I think he is going to be the coach. I can't see them making a change. None of us are perfect human beings. We all have things in our closet. I'm sure that none of us would like to come out and, did he have an extramarital affair? Yes. Is it embarrassing? Yes. Did he damage his family? Yes. But I think the NFL and the Patriots have clearly said this is not a personal conduct policy deal, and that he intends on being the coach.
Yeah, I've been saying more likely than not, he's the coach. I would just say, I was saying like 60-40, he's the coach. I would say maybe now 70-30. And the 30% being, you know what? Vrabel says, hey, I got to take a year here to just get my affairs in order. Affairs, probably not the right word to use. Yeah. Get my personal life under control, you know, get back and whatever. And they just, he's the coach of the team. Because they're not going to want to fire him. Like you said, this isn't a thing where he can't get the job done. But it just might be hard for him, not only a personal level, but you know how these coaches are. A lot of it is, you know, accountability and nothing, everything before the team. It's hard to get up there in front of your team and, you know, not being a distraction. That's a thing they praise too. It might just be, you know what, I got to go away for a year, let this die down, I'll come back. Because they don't want to fire him. First off, he's a good coach, and a year from now he's going to get a job and be coaching, you know, the Jets or the Texans. He'd be coaching against you, so you don't want that if you're the Patriots. So might as well, you know, let this ride. But I do think, boy, I've thought a few times we're like a story or two away from, man, I don't know how much more of this he can survive. But like you said, maybe now it's died down.
Could you make a case for the Browns season win total over, like, if Deshaun Watson has anything left, he's going to be the starting quarterback? And the schedule is so bad. I know people are really down on the Browns, but New head coach, and if Watson's healthy, you give him one last chance to kind of show what he can do. Like, I don't know. That might be a little bit of a contrarian type play, because a lot of people just think that Browns team is going to be bad, but they still got some talent on the defensive side of the ball. They got some young receivers now, and if Watson's healthy, maybe they can get their way to 6 or 7 wins with that schedule.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I was doing the Sunday morning show with John Jastrzemski, and he brought up, I think it was because Rodgers came back and he brought up the Steelers number, and I guess they're 7.5 for a win total, which, man, eventually they're going to have a losing year, but I've been on it too many times. I'm not going under 7.5. Basically, you have to go 7-10 for a team that wins 9 or 10 games every year. I'll set that one out. But he brought up the division odds, and he's like, Baltimore, even money. I'm like, don't really like that. Cincinnati, which always, they haven't won in 3 or 4 years, haven't been to the playoffs. 2-1. We just assume, Burrow's going to be healthy. This year, the defense is going to be better. At 2-1, I'll wait to find out. And I don't want to bet the Steelers at 5-1. So I was like, what's the Browns number? 16-1 is not enough to win the division, but it did at least make me think. When I heard the first three numbers, like pass, pass, pass. If I had to bet somebody, I might take a shot on the Browns 16-1, but I probably would need more. What do you expect from the Jets here in the last few minutes of NFL stuff? Is this a year where, like, we don't, these NFL teams don't necessarily tank like we expect, but are they, like, as bad as they were last year, a 3-4 win team, or do we start to see some improvement? Look at the offense, at least just the depth chart. All right, they had Cooper from Indiana, Garrett Wilson, Smith's at least a pro. I know he was bad last year. Are they better than people think, or don't overthink it? This is like a 3-4 win team.
I think they're better than they defensively. They have some problems. At least they have someone at quarterback now who is played. Now, granted, it was a guy who was kind of a dysfunctional player the last time he was there, and led the league in interceptions last year. The thing with the Jets is that they better win the Robert Saleh revenge game at Tennessee week 1, because then you're looking at Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago, the three teams from the NFC that are going to be really good. Then a home game against Cleveland, who we just talked about, and then at the Patriots. Like, if you're sitting there 1-5 after week 6, that's going to be a long road to hoe. And then I think us as bettors and fans have a little different mentality. Like, I, as a Jets fan, I hope they lose them all. Like, I lose everything. The goal of this season is to put yourself in the best position to compile picks, talent, whatever, for the 2027 draft. And I think with what you see in the 2027 draft and the players that are potentially there and the number of picks and the draft capital that they have, they need to pick very high, because if you look at teams like Miami, who were thought to be very, very bad, the Cardinals, who were thought to be very, very bad, they're like the most likely teams to pick at the top of the draft. You need to be in a position to get ahead of at least one of those teams to potentially take your franchise quarterback, or you're going to have to be in a position to deal some of your capital to get one of those. So I don't want to completely write off the season, but I'd be quite content if this team went 3-14.
Who's the guy, though, in the last minute or so? Is it Arch? Is it, you just get the pick, you don't worry about it? Like, right now, if I just gave you, if I just gave you your wish of any of these guys entering the season, who do you want the Jets quarterback to be with the
first
pick?
I think Arch is going to be a lightning rod this year. I've been going back and forth with someone on Twitter over this, who, like, is in, like, denial about how good Arch was at the end of the year last year. And he's like, you're cherry picking the end of the half of the year. Yeah, I'm picking the back half of the year, because the first half of the season was the first time he started, was a starting quarterback in college football. And your first game is at Ohio State. So, like, I think Arch could be the guy. I think CJ Carr is someone who I'm very high on. Dante Moore, obviously, any one of those guys, I think, has the potential to be a very, very good cornerstone starting quarterback.
All right, we will wrap up with the Bear next. Stay tuned. Chris Felica, Fox Sports, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcasts. The Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports. All right, let's do a few more things, too. I want to do college football. I want to do soccer, but we have not talked about what is going to be the story here the next week or two in the sports world. We've been thinking about it. We've been talking about it. We're finally going to get it. Very often in sports, Bear, you know, you get these, oh, I can't wait for this playoff series or playoff matchup, and it doesn't come. It doesn't come to fruition. We're getting it. Best of seven. Hopefully everyone stays healthy and we get a fun series, a good series. I know you and I both got bets both ways. Spurs Thunder, OKC laying 260. They beat them. They lost 4 out of 5 to the Spurs in the regular season. Your take on this series is what?
I think that the Spurs have a great chance. I love the fact that MVP now is sneaking out right before the series starts. I think if you needed a little extra motivation as a Spurs player, not that pro athlete needs motivation to win their conference and get to the NBA final, but I think Wembanyama had an unbelievable case to be the MVP this year, and I would have voted for him had I been an NBA awards voter. I think that team is going to take this as a little bit of a slight. I think the way that they defend on the perimeter, I think that's going to give Oklahoma City problems. Part of that, you alluded to the preseason bet we've got on them at 45-1, which is nice. We also bet Oklahoma City at like -155 to win the West prior to the start of the playoffs, just because you knew they were going to be in this position. And now it's free money. You can just name your arb, take the Spurs either to win the series or over under games or whatever you want to do. So you can do that. I think the Spurs are alive though. I really do.
Yeah. And if you have those Spurs tickets, it's funny. Bet it 45-1. I think you got 45-1 too. If you would have told me, and that bet was made the lottery last year with the idea that Giannis could be the trade target with all of their draft ammo, and they get Harper, who's tremendous, and it's hard to believe watching Harper, that Rutgers team with Harper, who's going to be an NBA All-Star, I think, maybe multiple times, and Bailey, who's the fifth pick in the draft, who looked pretty good. Like, you have two legitimate NBA players. You couldn't even like make it out of the, I don't know, 14-13 game in the big tournament. Regardless,
I mean, you talk about them just hitting in the draft. I mean, yes. Wemby's obviously what, but Castle has been awesome, and then this year as well. So yeah, a team done right, head coach there that took over following Pop. So yeah, this team is not going. How many is this? Just kind of like the Bulls and the Pistons used to be, like the winner of that series was going to go win the NBA title. Like we could be saying this for a long Western Conference final, the next 6 years, 7 years that the winner of this series wins the NBA title, right?
Yeah. I mean, I threw out the question the other day, out of the next 5 championships, how many are won by either the Spurs or the Thunder? And a lot of people, and that's probably the answer I give, hard to give them all 5 because somebody at some point is not going to win, but four of them. Yeah. Hard to believe.
At least 4.
What, so are you investing, or are you just, you know what, you've got your Spurs to win the title, you've got OKC to win the West, which to me, like, that's a perfect hedge where I'm either winning the Thunder bet or I got the Spurs in the final, then you kind of go from there. Are you doing anything with this series individually? I kind of like OKC in 6 at plus 450. I just think that's the best bang for your buck. Spurs get a couple games, but OKC ultimately prevails. What, are you doing anything extra?
It would be something like that, but again, I think we are all in agreement that if you've got Oklahoma City to win the series, just sit on it. And I think if the Spurs wind up winning this series, I think they'll beat whoever they face from the East. So it just might be one of those things where I just let it play out and let the chips fall where they may.
Fast forward to the New York Knicks parade a month from now when we're both just shaking our heads.
The Mecca. a lot of Knicks fans are all wound up at me, which is fine, which is good. Hey, good. They finally made a run. They won some games. They're playing great, and you're kind of worthy of the adulation that you've been getting. It'll be interesting to see now with them sitting for a while and Cavs Pistons going 7 games, how if that has an effect. So they were just so hot and blowing everybody out. Now you sit for a while and you read your headlines and you maybe get a little, while you get rest, maybe there's a little rust involved with that as well. So be curious to see what happens in the Eastern Conference Final.
All right, let's bounce around here. World Cup. The people that are listening that know nothing about soccer, guide us. What should we be betting? Who should we be betting? I'll give you the floor.
I think there are 3 teams that you can bet at the best possible number you can find to reach the quarterfinals, Spain, Belgium, and Portugal. Spain is one of the best teams out there. You look at their path, it's very likely going to be like Austria and then maybe Colombia or Croatia in the round of 16. So they should get to the quarterfinal. They'll win their group, which... I mean, your Uruguay will give them a little bit of a game, but they'll win their group. Spain should reach the quarterfinal. Belgium is another team which should reach the quarterfinal. Belgium can make a little bit of a run, I think, as well, because you look at where they'll win their group, and you're going to wind up getting a third place team in their first round, and then in the round of 16, you're either going to get a third place team. Or the winner of the bad U.S. group, which could be U.S., could be Turkey, could be anybody. So Belgium, I think, can make a run. I bet the other day, Jeremy Doku to win the Golden Boot at 80-1. He has been playing very well at the club level for Manchester City lately, putting in a lot of goals. I think while he doesn't take penalties, I think there's an opportunity for him maybe to finally break through here and take over the goal scoring duties for Belgium. So I played him to win the boot as well, and then Portugal to win their group. Portugal to get to the quarter as well. If you look at Portugal again, they're probably looking at maybe getting a draw where you're getting Ghana and then maybe like Algeria on the way to the quarterfinal. So those three teams, I feel very, very good about making the quarterfinal. You could, if you're feeling a little frisky, maybe bet a little Morocco to win Group C. That is the group with Brazil. Brazil's roster is kind of in flux. They're not fully healthy. Morocco has got a ton of talent. I mean, Scotland and Haiti are definitely the bottom feeders of that group. But if Morocco can pull off the upset or slight upset over Brazil, you could probably get them at a nice little price to win that group. USA, I think the United States is probably ticketed for no better than second, possibly third in the group. So you could probably get maybe a little bit of a good hometown press on that, people being that everybody wants to root for the US and thinks the US is going to do better than they actually are going to do. You could bet a Spain-Uruguay 1-2 exacta in that group. You could bet potentially an England-Croatia 1-2 exacta in that group to try and boost a little bit of a price on big favorites to win their group. And then if you're looking to get a little more frisky, a little bit, maybe for funsies here, you want to maybe take Argentina to get knocked out in the round of 32. I mentioned Uruguay before. The second place team in that group, whether it's Uruguay or Spain, is who Argentina is going to face in their first round game. And Spain, they'll certainly be an underdog. Uruguay, they're a favorite, but the slightest of favorites. Lionel Messi is older. It's a core that's gotten a little bit older. Like this could be the last kind of run, but I would give Uruguay a very good puncher's chance against Argentina should that be the round of 32 matchup.
About a minute and a half. Your favorite bet or two college bets in college football or what?
Arkansas under 4.5 wins. Michigan under 8.5 wins. Florida State under 6.5 wins. Those are the three win totals I feel the absolute best about. And then you can throw in a little Yannick Sinner to minus 270 or so to win the French. It's a good little parlay leg, whatever bet you like, throw a little Yannick Sinner minus 270 or so to win the men's French Open at Roland Garros coming up as well. It'll give you a little bit more boost on your bet.
We follow a Michigan fan on Twitter. That Michigan fan, hopefully that person does not listen to the podcast. They would not be happy with that Michigan bet.
Well, this is going to be a year where Michigan takes a little bit of a step back, I think, record-wise, but long-term moving forward. They'll be good. Every team that they finished ranked, every team that they played last year that finished ranked, they wound up losing by double digits. I'm not sold Bryce Underwood is going to be the guy that everybody thinks he is going to be. So we'll see what happens. 8-4 with Kyle Whittingham as your head coach moving forward. You'll be in a good position.
The Bear, Chris Felica. Bear, where can we find you?
Chris Felica on Twitter and Instagram. Bear Best Podcast coming up every week. I'll be on VSiN, obviously. We call it Fezzik Fridays on VSiN, in case you've never heard of that before. I mean, we give Steve Fezzik the headline. But yeah, we're and then Belmont Stakes coming up on June 6th.
You just get on base for Fezzik, and Fezzik blasts one 450 over the bullpen, and everyone is happy. Eventually, they're going to pitch around you and Fezzik and just try to go after John Erickson, because Fezzik, Fezzik hits some bombs on Fezzik Friday. Bear, appreciate it, man. Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.